Hello, this is Pastor Corey Ehrman. You're listening to my podcast. I hope it blesses, encourages, and inspires you. I pray that the Holy Spirit will touch you through this teaching. Thank you for tuning in, and God bless. When it comes to the believer's authority, one of the biggest areas we get authority is the Word. Okay? God has exalted His Word above His name. See, when you take God's Word and you speak it, there's authority in the name, and there's authority in the Word. So, we talked about believing and speaking the Word of God. That's how we exercise authority. Whatever you're dealing with, you have to pull out the sword of the Spirit. Amen. Now, go with me to Ephesians chapter 6. I'm going to touch on two passages of Scripture today from the book of Ephesians. And we'll continue along these lines. What you have to understand is we are in a time of spiritual battle. And that's not never changed. It's nothing new. But it is getting intense. It is going to intensify because of the last days. But that's why it's so important for you to understand your authority in Christ and to walk in it and to exercise your authority. Authority must be exercised. You maybe have heard me or other preachers say, I take authority in the name of Jesus, right? What are we doing? We are exercising authority. You're exercising authority in the name of Jesus. So let's go to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. So our strength, our power, authority comes from the Lord. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That means strategies and deceits of the devil. Okay? For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. So our authority is spiritual. Our authority is spiritual. Now you need to understand, you cannot take authority over certain things. You can't take authority over somebody else's will. You understand me? Now you can take authority over your children's will as parents, and you have to. If you don't, you allow the flesh in them to run amok. Bible says foolishness is bound in the heart of the child, but the rod of correction drives it from them. And so you've got to discipline your children because they don't know how to put their flesh under. So you've got to teach them how to put their flesh under. But you as parents, you better know how to put your flesh under. Because if you don't put your flesh under, you can't put your children's flesh under. So the first place you take authority is in your personal life. Character, self-leadership. You have to discipline your own flesh. So you've got to deal with the flesh. That's the number one place you take authority is over your flesh, because the Bible tells that you've got to crucify your flesh. Nobody can do that for you. Amen. You have to crucify your own flesh. So you take authority over your flesh. Amen. And then you can take authority over the realm of the Spirit. Now, again, you have to understand there are certain things you don't have authority over. Do you understand that? As a pastor, I don't have authority over your will. I give you biblical instructions or counsel, and then people have to go make their own decisions, because God's given everyone a will, and you can use your will in it, you know, along with, in line with the Word of God, the will of God, or outside of the will of God, and then you're going to get yourself into trouble. But you got to understand, you cannot take authority over certain things. But you can take authority over your own personal life, your own thought life, your body, your flesh, your attitudes, amen, your own money, your own behavior. And you've got to exercise authority in your life. Authority over the flesh. Take authority over your thoughts. Take every thought captive that's against God's word. Don't allow those thoughts to basically take over your mind and become strongholds, okay? And then the other realm you need to understand is, which is what I'm going to get into here, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. I'm going to come back to a lot of these, but... And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. That's what I talked about today. Believing and speaking the word is a weapon. Paul says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. Okay? So you got to pull out your weapon of the sword of the Spirit, speaking it. And when John had a revelation of Jesus on the island of Patmos, he saw that there was a double-edged sword coming out of the mouth of Jesus. Instead of a tongue, it's like a double-edged sword. What does that mean? Because that's the word. Sharp word that he speaks, the weapon. So the weapon of the word, you got to speak the weapon of the word, which we've already talked about today. Now, there's a couple of things that the Lord showed me that I must do here this morning. We're going to break some people free from spiritual bondage. Okay? All right. Take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. All right. Then go back to chapter 2. So we see that our battle is not against flesh and blood, you know, but it's against spiritual forces in the invisible realm of the Spirit. Now, something you must understand as a believer, as a Christian, when you're born again, blood bought, blood washed, the enemy, the devil, has no authority over you except what you give him. And it's very surprising and very tragic because many times because of, obviously, lack of knowledge, not understanding spiritual things. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Christians unknowingly have opened themselves up to a lot of spiritual influence. Now, a Christian cannot be fully demon-possessed, but he can certainly come under demonic influence. Because if you allow the wrong thoughts that I mentioned, you'll come under demonic influence. Depression is a spirit. Bible calls it a spirit of heaviness. Fear is not just a thought, it's a spirit. Bible calls it a spirit of fear. Infirmity is not just symptoms. Many times, not all the time, is a spirit of infirmity. So there are spirits behind the scenes. And we as Christians, you as a believer, I pray. My prayer is, that's why I'm also sharing on the revelation gifts tonight. The word of wisdom, word of knowledge, and the discerning of spirits. Because we've got the ability to see into the realm of the Spirit and discern activities of the enemy. See, he says that we can know the strategies of the evil one, that we'll be prepared for them. And many believers, and some watching me today on the broadcast, some in the church today, you've allowed the enemy, you've allowed demonic influence to come and operate in your life. Some of it knowingly, some of it unknowingly, because the Bible talks about sins of omission, sins of commission. Commission is something you've done knowingly. You know, that you realize it's wrong, you realize it's a sin, but you've done it knowingly, willingly. And then there are sins of omission, things that you've done without knowing. Okay? There's people that have opened up demonic influence in their lives, sometimes because of the people they hang around with. And there are gateways into your life. And the two big gates are the eye gate and the ear gate. And we are in a major crisis situation. Not only this country, around the world. Social media has opened the gates of hell into many children's, teenagers, adults' lives. the internet has become a gate of hell. And Jesus said, I'll build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. But it's become a gate, an eye gate and an ear gate. The music people listen to, they just think, well, it's just a song. There's a spirit behind each song. It's either the spirit of the Lord or some other spirit. Spirit of perversion and lust and murder and depression and anger and every kind of immorality. And these become gates. You've got to protect your children, parents. Don't just let them sit around and watch anything, look at anything. You better know what they're getting into on the internet. And some kids, they shouldn't have a phone. They shouldn't have an iPad. You've got to protect your children. You've got to take ownership of your children's stewardship and take authority. Well, you know, and we're living in a time where basically kids and teenagers are allowed to do anything they want. And all we have is rebellion and immorality and out of control people. So we have got to take authority. You've got to begin to take authority in your personal life over the eye gate and the ear gate, what you look at and what you hear. It's no big deal. It's just this. It can open and will open doors of access for the enemy. Now look at this, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. And you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. So that means there is a spiritual atmosphere. To me, what I see there is, there's a spiritual atmosphere. Now, in this church today, we have a spiritual atmosphere. We've set the atmosphere. Praise, worship, word, the anointing, the presence of God. There is an atmosphere here, a spiritual atmosphere. We've cultivated that. We protect it. We cultivate it. We intentionally create an atmosphere in this place. Not just an atmosphere that's created by lights or decorations and everything else, but first and foremost, the most important thing is we have to create a spiritual atmosphere. We do that in the church. Now you must also create a spiritual atmosphere in your personal life, in your home, through praise and worship and the anointing and the presence of God and the word of God and believing and speaking and praying and worshiping. You've got to intentionally create a spiritual atmosphere of the presence of God, of the power of God, an atmosphere of faith, right? What is in the world? The prince of the power of the air, the spirit, see? The spirit, a spiritual atmosphere. The spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. Now, as a Christian, if you come into a place of disobedience, that spirit will begin to gain access into your life. I mean, I've seen people, not only with social media, we're also dealing with high levels of witchcraft activity around the world. I mean, we've got people in positions of power and authority, government, and all over the place that are practitioners of the occult. It's not a conspiracy theory. It is as real as it gets. We are dealing with high levels of demonic activity. Every form of immorality, pedophilia, child sacrifices, every form of wickedness under the sun that you can imagine, transgenderism, transhumanism. The next level from transgenderism is because the devil wants to change the human nature. So it's either gender identity confusion and it's demonic. And also now the next level is merging humans with technology. That's the beast system where full control is going to come in, full surveillance. People are going to want to be chipped. They're going to want to merge with technology. There's billions and billions of dollars in the world system that's being poured into merging humans. There's stuff out there. If I begin to tell you, you would freak out, but it's been going on for years. Crossbreeding of species, it's happening. You think that, you know, genetically modifying viruses in a laboratory is... It's way beyond that. There's stuff out there, and it is so evil. But what you've got to understand is there is a spirit. See, prince of the power of the air, an atmosphere. The spirit. What is that spirit? The spirit of Antichrist that is working in the sons of disobedience, okay? Among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. See, flesh and the mind. What is the flesh? Unrenewed mind. The mind that's not renewed by the word of God. The mind does not, that is not the mind of Christ. The mind that does not think in line with God's word. That's why indoctrination, propaganda indoctrination is a major weapon of the enemy. Deception, misinformation, propaganda, indoctrination. Kids are not educated anymore in schools. They're indoctrinated. That's why we have got to get kids out of public school. That's why we're working, and we've got to get this going this year. It has to happen. The River Academy, where we're going to train our children in the Word of God, in the anointing, in practical things that they're going to actually be able to apply, not a bunch of useless information. Schools are just about useless information. It's actually designed to create what they call useful idiots. It's actually a terminology they've been using for a long time. The whole school system, education system is corrupted. It's become big business. Banks are involved. That's why people finish school with hundreds of thousands of dollars of student loan debt, and they become a slave to the system. The whole thing is designed to create slaves. Mindless, lobotomized, useful idiots. That's what they call them. They use this word themselves. People in high levels of leadership and government. They call them useful idiots. They just want a working class of serfs, slaves, and useful idiots. And so we are under attack on all fronts. And you've got to be sober and vigilant, as Peter warned. You've got to be sober and vigilant. You've got to have eyes to see through and ears to understand, hearts to understand. You've got to have spiritual discernment. My prayer is that this church and everyone here under the sound of my voice walks in spiritual discernment, discerning of what is happening in the realm of the spirit. You've got to be able to see beyond sight, beyond what you see, because beyond what you see is something behind the scenes. Behind the songs, there's a spirit. Behind the movies, there are spirits. Behind politicians, there are spirits. Behind so-called this agenda and that agenda and this initiative, they're all spirits. They are driven by spirits. The prince of the power of the air. We just think it's air, but it's the spirit who works in the sons of disobedience, which we all, while we were sinners, were among them, conducting ourselves in the lust of the flesh, being driven by the fleshly carnal nature, fleshly impulses, the animal instincts, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, were by nature children of wrath. Notice the word nature, children of wrath. That means you're going to face divine judgment. But God. Thank God for that. But God. Everyone say, thank you, Lord. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. What does that mean, made us alive together in Christ? Bible says that when you are born again, you receive the divine nature, right? You become a new creation in Christ, a new creature. Amen? Amen. All things, that old nature is gone. All things are made new. So you are, as a believer, as a Christian, a born-again Christian, not a Christian in name, but a born-again Christian, born-again believer. You have a new nature. You no longer have that nature of the children of wrath. You have now the nature of the children of righteousness. A nature of righteousness. A divine nature. God's own nature has been imparted into your life. You are a new creature. You have to understand who you are in Christ. And when you understand who you are in Christ, then you can operate in your authority, because understanding who you are in Christ is the foundation of you exercising authority in Christ. Where does our authority come from? The fact that we've been born again, right? Translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's Son. And then not only have we been born again, because I mean, you're born again, but you're still on the planet. We're not in heaven yet. So we're still surrounded by the spirit of the air that's around us, the spirit of the world. John says that spirit of Antichrist is already in the world. So the spirit of the world is Antichrist. Now, I'm not talking about the Antichrist, the one man, all that. The spirit of Antichrist, that's always been around. The spirit that's against God's people, God's word, everything that's good, the spirit that's evil, wicked, unrighteous. It's all around us. So now, okay, well, wonderful. I'm born again. I'm here on the planet. But what? Then there's another part to it. Verse 6. And he raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places. Okay, so Jesus, after he rose from the dead, he was on the earth for 40 more days, right? Proving his resurrection with infallible proofs. And then he went up to heaven. And he's going to come back again. But when he went up, Bible says he ascended on high. So he ascended, and then he was exalted. That means he was given the name which is above every name. Okay? And then he was glorified. So he is seated at the right hand of the Father, the position of highest authority in heaven and earth. That's why he said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given unto me. So Jesus has been given all authority in heaven and earth. Jesus, the Word of God. And the name and the word, that's what I talked about. The name and the word, right? He has all authority in heaven and earth. And where are we spiritually? Well, I'm seated together. I'm seated together with the brothers and sisters here in these blue chairs at the River Church here in West Palm Beach. Yeah, physically you are. But you have to understand, spiritually speaking, from your spiritual position, you are seated together with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Okay, that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Okay, so, and the book of Ephesians, I'll have to spend hours on it. If you go back in chapter 1, there's the prayer of Paul, which of course talks about the power that's at work in us, which is the same power, verse 20, that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places above all principality and power and might and dominion. So every spiritual principality, power, might, dominion, every wicked spirit, every demonic spirit, every fallen angel, including Lucifer, Satan, right? And every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet. That's why we say the devil is under our feet. He is defeated. He is under defeat. Come on, somebody. Look under your feet. He is defeated. He is under defeat. Okay? You see that? And gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, and the fullness of him who fills all in all. So we have authority in the name of Jesus. We have authority in the name of Jesus because we are positioned and seated together with him, jointly seated. Now, that's the position of the believer. That's the identity of the believer. But unfortunately, the reality is, in practical sense, you find that many Christians, they allow the enemy to come and push them around. Because they fail to take authority. They fail to recognize their authority and use their authority. Right? If you don't use your authority, what good is it? If you don't use your weapons, what good are they? So we have authority. Now there's a few things. I'm very concerned about the eye gate and the ear gate. There are Christians that have traveled to foreign countries and they bought things thinking they're souvenirs. And they bring them into their homes and they're actually idols and demonic occult pagan objects, but there's also spirits attached to them. And unknowingly, naively, they brought these things into their homes and they brought spirits along with them. Amen. Or there's people in their families that are involved in occult and witchcraft. And without knowing, they're influenced by them. There are witches and witch covens today, even in this city, putting curses over churches, putting curses over Christians. They do blood covenants and blood rituals, and demonic rituals to gain power and curse people. Now, whom God has blessed, no man can curse. But how many times I've had Christians come here and they're like a mess. You can see they're oppressed. There's a demonic attack on their life and they just have to pray for me. And we pray, we break it. But then if they don't know how to go back and walk in their authority, they come under that influence again. So I need you to understand. I need you to rise up and take authority over your homes, over your businesses, over your children, over your families. And protect the eye gate and the ear gates. Protect your children. Protect your home. Some of you, you've had people come to your home after they left. All hell broke loose. You're like, what? You're wondering what the heck just happened. They brought some spirits. You need to eject those spirits. When I travel, I go stay in hotels. First thing I do is I take authority over the hotel room. In the name of Jesus, I walk into this hotel. I take authority over the atmosphere of this room. You don't know who's been there. It could have been two homosexuals in the bed the night before you were there. Come on. They could have been snorting cocaine on that desk where you were putting your laptop. So I take authority. I cleanse the room. I say, I take authority over this room right now in the name of Jesus. I take authority over the spiritual atmosphere of this room in the name of Jesus. I break and cast out every wicked thing from this room. I cleanse it by the power of the blood of Jesus. I bless this room and I invite you, Holy Spirit, to come and the glory of God to come and fill this room in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. When you walk into an environment, take authority over it. When you get into a car, you get into Uber, take authority over it. When I get onto airplanes, I take authority over it. Okay. So take authority. I get on an airplane in the name of Jesus. I commandeer this airplane. I take authority over it. Because, you know, you got some Hare Krishna going with their beads sitting on the airplane. You got some other funky, you don't even know who. You don't know who the pilot is either these days. You got people trying to join the Mile High Club in the restrooms. I'm telling you right now. We're surrounded by this wickedness. And I just take authority. Everywhere I go, I take authority over this airplane right now in the name of Jesus. I break every curse spoken over it. I break every foul spirit that's been released, every foul prayer in the name of Jesus. I mean, in my country, in Turkey, almost every building you go to has the big, huge evil eye. And you get into a taxi, he's got the evil eye and got all the funky beads. And as soon as I would get in a cab and taxi, I take authority over this right now. You foul devil of hell. I bind you now. I'm in charge of you right now in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Brother Hagin tells a story in one of his books. There was a man who had asthma. And he was like, you know. And then so Hagin was going to go on this trip and the guy was going to ride in the car with him. So he comes on the trip with him. They drive several hours. He goes, preaches for a couple of days, and then they drive back to town for about three or four days. And then, you know, the man does not have one single asthma attack in the car. And then as soon as he gets out of the car, goes home, immediately he starts having an asthma attack. And he calls Brother Hagin and goes, man, I was with you like three, 4 days. I didn't have a single asthma attack. What was that about? Because he says, because I took authority over it. I couldn't have you wheezing and coughing and in my car the whole time you were with me. I took authority over it. He goes, well, how come he came back? Because you have to learn to take authority yourself. Now, I can't take authority over you, but the moment you came into my realm of authority, I took authority over it in the name of Jesus. So whenever things come into your realm of authority, you have to take authority in the name of Jesus. And you have to put a stop to certain things. I will not tolerate this in the name of Jesus. You don't tolerate strife. Don't tolerate fear. Don't tolerate any of these division in the name of Jesus. Don't tolerate anything occult. All right? Now, I'm going to have to say this because some of you, before you were saved, you got a whole bunch of tattoos. Funky tattoos. Do you realize it's a gateway for the enemy? That's why the Bible says don't mark your flesh. Because it really is, it's a spirit of the world. And I mean, when I was like in college, like you had, you know, to go get a tattoo, you had to go to like the shady part of town. And it was like weird and very few people. Now it's been proliferated. It's in the malls. It's become mainstream. Guys, come on. And the world is doing this. And I have to answer the question all the time. People come to me, Pastor, I'm a Christian. Should I get a tattoo or not? I'm not going to tell you what not to do, but I'm going to tell you it's better that you don't mark your flesh. To me, just like I tell you, it's better that you don't even sip one sip of alcohol. To me, abstinence is the best policy. Now, I've dealt with Christians that have, obviously, they were, you know, in the world, and they got all kinds of crazy tattoos of demonic things on them, and you got to pray and break the curses off of them. So you have to understand the demonic influence that can come into somebody's life. Today is the Super Bowl. I guarantee you 100% there's going to be a demonic occult ceremony at the halftime. Halftime will be a satanic ritual cult ceremony, as it's been for many, many years now. You look at the Olympics, opening ceremonies, wicked occult rituals. I mean, you look at the Grammys, you look at some of these other, it's literally full-on satanic rituals performed in the name of entertainment and arts, and everybody watches them, and then they don't understand that there are spirits attached to these things. So you've got to protect yourself. You got to take authority over these things. You got to protect your life. You got to keep the temple pure. Don't put things into the temple that's going to damage the temple. And then because they open doors. I guess you can say the mouth is another gate as well. The tongue can release some hellfire. That's why we call the crop failure on some words that we've spoken. Because the words that you've spoken have given authority to certain spirits. And you took authority over those things and you called the crop failure on those words because it empowered the enemy to gain access into your life. Because the words have power of life or death. Amen. So is this helping anybody here today? All right. Come on, lift your hands. I'm going to take authority over every foul witchcraft curse, knowingly or unknowingly, has gained access into your life. In the mighty name of Jesus, right now, I take authority by the power of the name of Jesus, by the power of the blood of Jesus. I take authority over every foul curse and witchcraft curse. In Jesus' name, I break it now, and I set you free from it. By the power of the blood of Jesus. Any place that the enemy has gained access into your life through the eye gate or the ear gate, we break that right now in the name of Jesus. We also bring soul ties that have been formed by unhealthy, immoral relationships. We sever every foul soul tie in the name of Jesus. That's why certain people just keep going back to the same thing. Because there's a tie. I break every bondage right now in the name of Jesus. I take authority over every spirit of oppression and depression and infirmity and fear in the name of Jesus. I take authority over every foul spirit. Spirits that come to hinder you. Hindering spirits to hinder you from making progress in your life. Hindering spirits that will keep you from prospering. Hindering spirits that will keep you from growing in the things of God and accomplishing your plan and purpose for your life. I take authority over every foul spirit in the name of Jesus. I break your power. I break every assignment of the enemy against your life in the name of Jesus. Every demonic assignment today is canceled in Jesus' name. Now, I'm just doing some general prayers. I'm doing general prayers, right? But you're going to be dealing with some specific things. And I pray that the Lord shows you what's going on. That is, you're not just dealing with people. You're dealing with spirits. Now, you can't take authority over people, but you can take authority over spirits. Now, obviously, there are people that have been used by spirits to commit all kinds of crimes and have given into sin, right? The Bible says the government and law authorities, you know, law enforcement can take authority over them. They have to literally put them in handcuffs and go put them away in a room somewhere. They have the ability to take authority. I can't go just handcuffing people and locking them in a room. Do you understand me? But if they come into your realm of influence to hurt you, you've got to take authority over it. Do not tolerate it in the name of Jesus. You're going to take authority in the name of Jesus. And I can't do that for you on a Monday or on a Tuesday, but you have authority. You have the believer's authority. You have the name of Jesus, and you have the position of authority, which is delegated power, delegated authority. So Jesus has delegated authority to you. Use your authority in your own personal life, in your thought life. Don't allow the enemy to come and put these thoughts into your mind. You got to instantly take authority over them. Amen. Capture, taking captive every thought immediately. I take captive this thought immediately. That's why people think we're just overboard. I tell them, cigarettes, alcohol, these are all things that are going to give the enemy access into your life. You better understand that. You better understand that. Certain relationships, you got to love certain people from a distance. Pray for them. But if they're detrimental, if they're detrimental to you, you got to protect your life. And you need to protect your children. I'm going to just tell you that right now. Gloria has never, ever, one time gone to a sleepover in anybody's house. We will never allow it. I don't know what's going to happen in that house. I'm not leaving my little girl to go stay. Well, they're a Christian, wonderful Christian family. I've seen a lot of ugly things happen in so-called wonderful Christian families. Because I've dealt with people that were raped by pastors. I've counseled people that were molested by pastors. Youth pastors and this and that. That's why we're very protected. We also protect the anointing. We're not going to allow somebody to come in and lay hands on everybody. People get offended all the time because we won't let them come and lay hands on people. I don't really care. You're not authorized to lay hands on people, first and foremost. Secondly, I don't like the spirit that's on you. Thirdly, it's holy and we're going to protect it. You want to go do your who's doing the charismatic zoo stuff somewhere else? Go ahead. Not here. Because I know of churches that have allowed people to come in. They were literally witches. Major ministries in Africa are getting exposed because they've been operating in witchcraft. One man that everybody celebrated has been exposed, has molested hundreds of young ladies and boys. We're not going to tolerate that stuff. The church is under attack. We're going to protect the church. That's my job. That's my job. I'm not little whiny little wishy-washy pastor. I'll deal with things. I deal with things. We're going to deal with things. There's grace and then there's discipline. Because we have to. We have to. It is so wicked out there right now. When we're even dealing with preachers that are on the payroll of the globalists to propagate false doctrine in the church, to weaken the church. They are paid by the wicked elite to infiltrate the church. Spies have come in. Demonic spirits have come in through these people. And God's people are being destroyed for lack of knowledge. So we have to take a stand, church. We have to take a stand. You need to take a stand. This is no picnic. We're not this ain't no picnic. There is an onslaught, demonic, wicked onslaught against the church, against the word of God, against children, against teenagers. We have to be a strong church full of the Holy Ghost and fire who understands their authority and walks in their authority and not going to tolerate a bunch of garbage. Preachers don't even speak up on these issues anymore. They're afraid of offending people. They've gone woke. Tickling ears. There are churches today, this morning, you can go to them. If you were to go to the green room, they're drinking whiskey. Pastors and his staff is drinking whiskey, beer. No wonder they don't speak up against it. Because they live a life that's compromised. And if your life is a compromise, you're not going to have the boldness to take authority over it. Right? Jesus said, the God of this world is coming and he has nothing on me. We have to protect God's people. We protect the anointing here. This is not a free-for-all. And people don't understand that because they just float around, never submitted to any authority. That's why they don't have any authority. If you don't submit to authority, you won't have authority.
Thank you for tuning into my podcast. I hope that you have been blessed. I would like for you to consider two things. Number one, subscribe to our show to receive notifications of our new podcasts. Number two, support our ministry of reaching the nations with revival by clicking on the link in the description or visiting our website, riverwpb.com. Thank you for tuning in. Look forward to you joining our next podcast. God bless you.